This week's show is sponsored by Whimsies by Wellness.
Can you tell when someone's lying?
The world of human lie detection is based on the premise that when you lie, your sympathetic nervous system functions involuntarily.
One aspect of the system deals with emotional arousal in response to situations. So if an individual decides to deceive someone, they'll experience a stress response on their bodies.
Paul Ekman's work found deception clues or leakage might be shown in a change of expression on the face.
So it's literally written all over your face.
But the question is, can dogs detect a liar?
Welcome to the Dog Scholar.
Will detection dogs trained to follow their noses ignore a lying human? In this study, the dogs were trained to find a toy and they could choose between two boxes, one of which contained the toy and the other one was empty. They could smell which box the toy was in, but a lying human would be pointing to the empty box. The scientists recorded which box they went to first. They repeated this with dogs of various ages to see whether experience made a difference. And they found dogs could spot a liar and ignore them, but it very much depended on their experience. The more experience a dog had, the more likely they were to use their sense of smell to find the toy and the less they cared about the lying human. So dogs can definitely ignore a lying human if they know they're right.
They were pointing at the same box. The dog learned that they was lying and chose the other box above what the cue was.
So if the human was pointing to the wrong box because they were lying, the dogs that had more experience ignored them and went to the box
smell. They've practiced that. They've pointed at the box, they've realised it's wrong, and then they remember it and go to the more likely to use the nose.
Exactly.
Okay.
They're using their nose.
Yeah, well, that's quite a natural behaviour for dogs, isn't it? You know, they'll follow a cue, and if it doesn't pan out and better the situation, they'll go a bit self-employed, won't they, and find a solution.
Yeah, there's not much value, I guess, in following something that doesn't lead to any sort of outcome for you.
Yeah. Yeah. But I guess if dogs are kind of naturally inclined to follow a human cue, does that make it really hard to ignore someone that's deceiving them? Are they naturally trusting you? And so then they're more likely to follow your cue.
I don't think that a dog's naturally inclined to follow a human cue anyway. I think you have to teach the dog that your human cue has got something of value to the dog for the dog to want to follow it. I think, you know, that they'll respond to something that they consider to be worthwhile, you know, but I wouldn't know that it's...
I'm not talking about like a conditioned cue. I'm talking about more like, let's say I put a dog in a room. It's a social dog, not my dog. Put my dog in a room. I want them to go over to the right corner and they don't. If I wander over to that corner, they'll find their way over. Mm. This is a problem in teaching search dogs. I have a bee in my bonnet about when they do passive search work, searching people, pointing at people. And I've seen so many dogs that just aren't searching. They're literally just following that hand again and again and again. And it can be problematic. They're not actually searching anymore. They're just following that hand moving from person to person to person. So I would say something similar is going on.
I guess for this one, because the dogs that were more experienced was ignoring the lying person, essentially. Is this a case of the dogs really knowing their job? And so then they're not so focused on what else is going on because they've experienced what they have to do.
I would say through repetition, the dogs realise that when they point at something, there's no outcome that betters their situation. So their senses kick in and then they start looking to better their own situation. They find it, they get it, that works. So it's learned behaviour through experience, like they say.
A question to you both then, with your experience of working dogs, how much does human error or accidental fibbing, if you like, affect working dogs?
I don't know that it depends on the level of the training that the dog's had. Yeah. You know, if you've got a dog, which is what you're saying there about experienced dogs. So if you've got a dog that has got a firm history of knowing that what I do betters, you know, leads to a reward. Okay, what I do is good for me. And it's generally linked with what you do. Mm. So you do what you do first. I do what I do as a result of that. And I get the reward as a result of it. If what you do has no meaning or bearing on that pattern of events, I'm going to very quickly learn that you're irrelevant. In a lot of instances, you want dogs to follow their own decision making. Mm. And you would want a dog to carry on doing something, even if you were over there doing something else, not necessarily calling them to you or giving commands that you would expect them to respond to, but you busy doing something else while your dog is working, trying to certainly with like you said, with detection, the focus shouldn't be on you. The focus should be on the task in hand. You know,
I'll give you a great example of that. Well, for a start, when we're training like search dogs in the beginning, there's no way I'd do any of what I'm going to mention now. But when a dog gets more experienced, say I'm searching them a line of cones and they indicate on a cone, I'll try and pull them away from the cone, and I'm looking for them to confirm it's there. I'll even walk to another cone and point at this. I'll do that. If it's a scent wall, I'll put wallets, keys, things like that in, and I'll have them smell all these things and proof test it. And then if they go and they indicate on the right one, they'll be rewarded. And as the exercise evolves, I'll try and sway them towards another one. And I don't care if they break it, as long as they go, no, no, it's definitely here. We'll build to that. A big problem you see with handling is when people are searching, when the handler knows where whatever the dog's looking for is spotted, the handler will stop ever so slightly at that one and give the dog a cue of where to search. I've pointed that out so many times. Your dog's not searching. Your dog's waiting for you to stop. So I make a deal of walking the line. When the dog stops, I keep walking. I put a little bit of tension in the lead and I walk the other way, and I want the dog to understand its job. But that happens a lot. So many little non-verbal cues are happening, and that's why it's important that you have a good team around you to pick it up.
With working police dogs as well, you know, there's the term trust your dog. Yeah. Was spouted more times than I care to remember, certainly with green, you know, new handlers. Because if you're tracking, for example, you know, so your dog's wearing a harness and it's got a long, long line attached to it, and it's following the scent, the ground disturbance of somebody, a criminal or whatever, and you train that so that the dog understands what's required of them when that signal of the harness comes on, and, you know, you can give a command if you like, but it should really just be the harness coming on, and you take them to the start of where you want them to start tracking from. And the amount of times that the person, the dope on the rope, would sort of think, no, they've gone this way, and try and pull the dog off. And the dog's going, no, they've gone this way. It's my job. Do you know what I mean? You're the co-pilot, Sunshine, listening. But they put, no, they've gone this way. And it would be like really... Yeah. So that dog, theoretically, has learned to ignore a liar, to follow its own nose and its own knowledge over... Yeah.
On the other
that's
side,
really interesting. Yeah.
On the other side of the
really
coin,
common.
On the other side of the coin, depending on the dog's ability to believe in its senses, you can ruin a dog with that. Mm. You can get a dog to now they have a sniff and then they just go with whatever the
anticipate
handler says.
Anticipate that you're going to pull them off their scent.
Absolutely. It's tricky business. Yeah. There's so many people doing it, but you need to be really self-aware when you're training dogs to do these sorts of tasks, don't you?
So what we know is dogs don't always understand human intentions. So if they're not obeying a command, it might not be that they're being stubborn or deceptive necessarily, but they just haven't linked that cue with a particular outcome.
I'd say 100% of the time it's not being stubborn or deceptive.
Never. Absolutely never.
Dismiss that entire thought
The way your dog thinks is a mathematical equation. It'll always equal it if it's done right. Mm-hmm. If it's wrong, something's gone wrong. It's not the dog just going, I'm not playing this. Unless your dog is obviously not fit for task and hasn't got the necessary drive to do the job.
So that study was looking at detection dogs and what they'd learned. But the question for me is whether all dogs can tell whether someone is lying to them or not. So in the next study, dogs could choose between two boxes, and these weren't detection dogs. These were just normal pet dogs. And one of the boxes had food in it. The other one was empty. And in half the trials, there was a helpful human that pointed to the box with food. And for the other half, there was a lying human that pointed to an empty box. And the dogs were really good at figuring out which of the boxes had treats in it. Dogs learnt that whatever box the liar was pointing to would be the empty box. So then they'd go to the other one. So they really didn't seem to be bothered about the person's motives, about whether they were lying or not. They just learned the association between the cue and the outcome. So actually, you could say, dogs could tell when someone's lying to them. But the question for me is, do they care?
I'm not convinced.
The whole notion I don't think we need to burden dogs with the, you know, I'm lying. You know, if you replace that person with a red light and a green light, and the red light always led to an empty box, and the green light always led to a full box, the dog isn't thinking the red light's a liar.
Yeah.
It's just basically thinking the green light signifies reward, the red light signifies non-reward. So I think the person as such just becomes a red or a green light.
So, that interesting? On a bit of a lighter note, should we feel bad about pretending to throw a ball?
No, I think it depends on the situation. It depends on the context in which you're doing it. I do it.
Yeah.
When basically, if the dogs are hanging around me and thinking something, well, I don't necessarily pretend to. If I want to begin with, if I want to teach the dogs to go out somewhere, I'll throw a ball. And then as they come in, I'll just throw an empty hand and the dogs will naturally go out there. If I want the dogs to go out to that actual area, they will go out anticipating me throwing a ball. Or equally, at the end of an exercise or something, I'll say, go on. And my hand just basically almost like manipulates that dog's experience of thinking, oh, it means that I'm now going out there to serve. But they don't, because they realise that in that context, this signal just means go and be free now.
You're just using it to aid progression.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We do it with like place commands. If you want your dog to go, send your dog to a bed. So, you know, say you've got an overexcited dog and you knock on the door. In your bed, run to your bed. Well, you might start by with a cue. In your bed, throw a treat on the bed. They go to the bed. And you'll build that up to where you've looked like you've done it. They go to the bed. You can mark, yes, reward the dog. So you've progressed the exercise by using that technique. What I will say is, if you pretended to throw a ball and your dog's fell off the edge of a cliff, then I'll probably feel a little bit bad. Do you know what I mean? So context everything.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, if you're a person who just wants to go out and pretend to throw balls for dogs, why? Yeah. What is wrong with you?
Yeah, do you reckon there's a whole cohort of people that just go out and like pretend to throw balls,
secret
like a cosplay
foam ball throwers.
I wouldn't do it for Ralph. He's got no sense. If I pretend to throw a ball, I reckon he'd just keep running forever until he dropped dead. It must land sometime. He's got no sense, that dog. I've seen people cry abuse over that, like online. Look at this, this is abuse, it's torturing the dog, and you're like, oh my god, shut the
hello Ian.
Yeah.
Hi, it's Claire. All right, Claire, you all right? Yeah. Listen, I went out earlier on, 14. I threw 14 fake balls and a bloody idiot went every time.
Yeah.
Oh, you lucky sod. I've got to catch up. I'm going out now before it goes dark. I'll speak to you later. Ta-da.
You never guess what? I done the same thing. The f*** come back with 15. How did that work?
This week's show is sponsored by Whimsies by Wellness. A good dental chew should be a win-win. Your dog gets a treat they can take off to a corner and chew on, and you get a significant improvement in their breath and all-round oral health. The unique shape of the hedgehog, alligator, and toothbrush chews helps clean between teeth and prevent the buildup of plaque and tartar. Look out for Whimsies at pet stores or order online by clicking the link in the description. We established in a past show, right, that dogs can smell happiness and fear in human sweat. Can dogs, in principle, smell our deception? Mm. Well, one study looked at exactly this. So in an interrogation, it looked at the differences in biological responses between someone who's lying and someone who's telling the truth. 38 men were interrogated, and researchers measured a whole range of biological indicators like cortisol and sweat and heart rate and skin temperature and stress ratings. And they found people who were lying showed different stress levels to those who were telling the truth. And stressed people might secrete a stress pheromone in their sweat. So liars seem to have stress sweat.
Would how emotionally linked you are to that lie matter? Like, if you're someone who's like a proper, like, psychopath who doesn't really have much feeling towards anything and a lie is just nothing to you, would that be different to someone who's like, oh, I shouldn't really be saying this and I feel really bad, but you know what I mean?
Possibly. I mean, we don't know from the study, but what we do know is that you could train dogs to detect that. Mm. So you could literally have dogs trained to sniff out the truth.
But there are people who can send polygraph lie detectors west. They can beat them, can't they?
Yeah, so maybe if you're controlling the same things that would trigger the polygraph, then you could control your stressy sweats.
Or maybe if you just don't wash your ass for a couple of weeks, the smell's just overpowering and they can't pick up on your on your sweat.
That'd be a nice study, wouldn't it?
I think that they were taking armpit swabs rather than
you don't have to wash them as well.
So you're saying what? You could have dogs as human lie detectors?
Yeah.
But then imagine that. Imagine losing your freedom. And you're like, well, the dog indicated. And you look and it's just there on a chair looking its nuts. And you're like, that is sending me to jail. That. You know what I mean?
No, not the
what
dog.
What your dog do for a living? He's a grass.
Yeah. Well, arguably, it wouldn't be the dog sending you to jail. It would be your own misconduct.
Not really. Not if you went through all avenues to not get caught and you've really made a concerted effort and then that little... He's just come in and gone. It was him. He's lying.
But it depends if you did it in the first place. Now, if the dog got it wrong and said you were lying when you weren't, then I think you could be...
Well, lying. And again, we're in a state of affairs where you can't submit a polygraph as evidence in court, can you? Because it's not consistent enough. Yeah.
And I'm pretty certain that you wouldn't.
No, you can't. It is inadmissible.
And dogs aren't 100% reliable. My dad works a search dog. His search dog's brilliant. And every now and again... He'll phone me having an absolute meltdown because he's had a bit of a stinker. And I said, Dad, it's not a robot. He's a dog. He just had a bad day in the office. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
The problem is that industry can be rather, and everyone's waiting for you to fall off your pedestal. Do you know what I mean? And I think in the working dog world, we have like a real unrealistic expectation of dogs, and it's linked to egos.
Yeah.
And dogs, you know, we're all fallible human beings and they're fallible dogs. Yeah. They can make mistakes. Yeah. It happens.
You could have one at home, couldn't you? Could you imagine that? Oh, sorry, I'm late from home. Sorry, I'm late home, love. I was working really late. The dog just looks at you. No, you were definitely in the pub.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stink of booze. Yeah.
I told, so when we were researching this episode, me and Danny were on a Zoom call talking about it, and we told Gabby that we could train Luther to be able to tell when she's lying.
She shits herself. Yeah. I played it at that band and she like looked at me as if to say my mum's taking the piss. I'm like,
he's already part trained. He's already part trained.
She's like, yeah.
Yeah. It was brilliant.
When it comes to like using it as any kind of evidencing, by that logic, if a dog stops at you in a line of people outside a nightclub or in a vehicle search or in an airport or whatever, you could just nick them straight off, couldn't you, and say, well, the dog stopped.
Yeah, you know,
it's never really going to get anywhere, is it?
You've got bit Minority Report, isn't it?
It's a little almost. Bit, yeah.
So, but hang on, so you
couldn't pre-cog
have,
dogs,
yeah. So you couldn't have a dog for court use, for legal use, but you could have one for personal use.
You could have.
You could just lie about having one, and the kids don't know any different, and they just think that. Yeah. And then you go, you're lying. The dog's indicating on you. You haven't cleaned your room. I have a swear. Oh yeah, yeah. He's only messing.
Kept you on your toes though.
Yeah, yeah.
What about the listener questions, Jay?
Okay, so question one is from Jorge in Bedfordshire. Is it true that dogs can spot a bad person? Do they instinctively know if someone has bad intentions?
Mm-hmm. How would you know if they know?
No.
Yeah. Question two.
So this is something that you hear.
Oxfordshire Wells.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. This is something that I hear quite a lot with clients coming in, and they say like the dog just knows. He knows. When you see that, you've neither got like a fearfully reactive dog that just reacts at everyone, and the person that tells you they can spot this bad person has literally no friends in the world. You know, because the dog, the dog's telling them everyone's bad, aren't they?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, yeah, see? And the other side of the coin is dogs will become defensive because people don't know how to interact with dogs. So if you're holding eye contact with a nervous dog, the dog's going to react to that. If you push your head forward in any way, a nervous dog will react to that. You're making the dog defensive, so the dog's booting off.
Dogs are really good at reading facial expressions though, aren't they? So, I mean, if you go back to the work of Paul Ekman that we talked about in the introduction, who identified that you can have micro expressions, which are emotional leakage. So you might be secretly quite anxious about something or quite angry with something, but you're trying to pretend that you're happy, but you will just give like a really short indication on your face. That expression will show. Maybe dogs can see that in a way that is really difficult for humans to perceive.
It's been used for years. You know, if you want to make a dog defensive, so when you're training like dogs to bite, like police dogs, it'll start as a game. Everything's all like chase this, bite this, look how fun it is. But eventually you need to put a challenge on the dog and see that the dog will raise to that challenge and say, right, come on, let's do it. So you'll hold a gaze at the dog. And what you normally see is a dog like look and go like, what is going on here? And as soon as you get a woof, you'll back away and go, oh God, you're big and scary. And the dog goes, oh, that felt good. I'll do that again. Yeah. So sometimes you need to draw that out of a dog. So you'll start by holding that stare. And if it doesn't get you anywhere, you'll make yourself bigger. And sometimes you'll show weaponry. You'll brace yourself to the dog and you'll be surprised how many dogs will boot off at that. The problem is the intricacies between showing weaponry and smiling are not really detectable by a dog. So when you see people in the street going, ah, they make themselves bigger, they show weaponry and they lean forward into the dog. So you make a nervous dog defensive.
Yeah. So maybe then dogs can, in some instances, detect a bad person, but maybe just not in the ways that we might assume. Good question though, I like
Great
that.
Great question.
What's the next one?
Got another one. Question two, Janet. I saw a video of a street dog pretending to limp to get people to feel sorry for it and give it food. As soon as it got the food, it trotted off perfectly normally. Can dogs lie to get what they want?
Danny has a strong view on this.
Yeah, you see a lot of this stuff online. You know, if I see, I haven't seen this video, but if I seen that video and the dog literally had a camera on it for an hour and it was doing it with everyone, you'd be like, oh my God, there's something there. But just watch your dog in everyday life, especially in the winter. Your dog only has to stand on a stone funny or get their paw a bit wet and they'll give a couple of hop, skip and a jump. And then they'll move on like it's like everything's hunky-dory. I'd say it's probably likely that the dog's just done that.
Mm.
Yeah. Especially like if they have like luxating patella or something like that. You see it in little terriers, little Parsons Jack Russells. They can have it where they hop the back legs and you go, oh, and then they run off like everything's fine. I would say it's more coincidental and we want to see something.
When I was researching for the grief episode, I read a case study about a couple that had a collie and the other dog in the household had died. And it was a couple of months on and the collie was really, really sad all the time, just seemed to be completely mopey and whatever they did didn't seem to bring it out of it. They left a camera on in the room and then they recorded that the dog was absolutely fine as soon as they left the room. It was only doing it in front of them. And what they deduced is that the dog was behaving that way because it had got fuss from them.
Absolutely.
To try and make it feel better. But then the dog had realised, oh, if I do this behaviour and I look mopey all the time, I'm going to get loads of fuss.
People would gain massive, massive value in realising, appreciating how much your feedback to what your dog does affects whether your dog does it again or doesn't do it again.
Yeah.
You know, how easy it is to sort of like increase. And a lot of the time people give feedback or they respond to behavior that you wouldn't really want the dog to do. But you sort of like, you either feel compelled through some sort of like emotional, you know, sympathy or whatever that you give to them. And so it becomes a rewarding behaviour for the dog and it becomes something that is more likely to happen.
The dog's not necessarily lying, it's just learned what the outcome is for doing that thing.
Of course, yeah.
I think
is that deception though? Because it's not the truth. The dog might deception. Not do it
as we perceive it, it is. But like, this is down to this human need to have an answer to everything, and the answer has to be in relation to what we are familiar with. Do you know what I mean?
Thank you for your questions, lovely people. If people want to get in touch, Jamie, how can they do so?
You can get in touch with us on social media by searching at Dog Scholar Podcast, or you can email us at podcast@thedogscholar.com.
That's all we've got time for this week. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please share it with a friend, because if they don't like it, maybe their dogs will.
Danny, over to you for the final thought.
So as the science says, if you're lying that something's in the box, the dog's going to know. So if you're going to lie, don't lie. If you're thinking about lying, don't do that either, because you come home and your dog will smell your box.
See you next week.